May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, give us ears to hear. In these days where pretty much everybody is talking about, praying for, believing God for revival, there's some interesting scriptures. If you know much about the book of Isaiah, the last number of chapters in Isaiah is really Israel crying out to God for visitation, for revival. Isaiah 60 talks about darkness getting darker, light getting lighter in those days. Isaiah 61, just about the work of the Messiah when he'd come, setting the captives free. Isaiah 62, about him calling us his bride. You know, Isaiah 63 and Isaiah 64. And Isaiah 64, when you get there, let me just read a few verses to you. Talking about Israel and how they rebelled against God and the work of the Holy Spirit was grieved in their midst. Verse 10, it says, and this is verse chapter 63, I'm sorry. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned himself to become their enemy and he fought against them. And then his people remembered the days of old of Moses. Where is he who brought them out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them? Who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses? Who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name? Who led them through the depths like the horse in the wilderness? They did not stumble. As the cattle which go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest, and you did lead your people to make for yourself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and see from your holy and glorious habitation. Where's your zeal and your mighty deeds, the stirrings of your heart and your compassion are restrained towards us? For thou art our Father, though Abraham does not know us, and Israel does not recognize us. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name. Why, O Lord, do you cause us to stray from your ways and harden our hearts from fearing you? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage. Your holy people possessed your sanctuary for a little while. Our adversaries have trodden it down. We have become like those over whom you've never ruled, like those who are not called by your name. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. The mountains might quake at your presence. As fire kindles the brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things which we did not expect, when you came down, the mountain quaked at your presence. That's one of the great passages of revival in all the scripture. In Isaiah 66, concluding this whole crying out for revival thing, verse 1, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may find rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord, but to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. Interesting thing. When crying out, Lord, that you would come down and we would know your presence and you'd do the deeds you did before, the miraculous and the supernatural, that your glory would be known. We once possessed your sanctuary for a little while. But the conclusion of Isaiah 66 is that when this happens, he's going to take up residence in human beings who fear him and tremble at his word, who are humble and contrite in heart. Bracken read the gospel lesson this morning. I didn't know that was a gospel lesson, where Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. When we talk about revival, what we're talking about is at an increasing level the manifestation of his rule and the reality of his kingdom, whether that's in your own personal life or in a corporate setting, in a geographical setting. That's what revival is. You can't get more revived than the full manifestation of the kingdom of Christ. Jesus said, we read this yesterday, so all this, hang in there, all this is to, it's like this is the introduction and then the message is like 30 seconds long. It says in verse 29 of Romans 8. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. His destiny for every one of us, his chief calling on all of us, is that we would be Christ-like. And again, as we said yesterday, not Christ-like by imitation, but Christ-like by participation in his life and the manifestation of his life. That's genuine and authentic Christ-likeness. Not us trying to be like him, but him being himself in and through us. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Again, as I said yesterday, Jesus didn't just come as the Son of Man. God, very God, laid down his right to live out as of his deity, lived as a man, spirit-filled, to show us as second Adam how man was intended to live as image-bearers and revealers of the likeness of God. It says in John 1, no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has explained him as the spirit-filled Son of Man, the author and the perfecter of faith. And this thing about this life of Christ is that Jesus didn't just come to be an example for us. He came to be an example of us. He was the prototype of the new creation. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And the new creation is a whole race of people, a whole new humanity that is Christ-like, that carries and reveals the very likeness of Jesus. That's why it says in Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23, for the church is the fullness of him who fills all and who's in all. Again, the church, what's the church supposed to be? How should we define the church? The church is the fullness of Christ. We argue about so many ridiculous things about the church. Is it called the church? Is it ecclesia? How are you supposed to worship? Like we take the gospel and we turn it into spitballs and shoot it at each other. We swallow camels and strain gnats. The most important thing is the church manifesting the fullness of him on the earth, who is filling all right now and is in all. So here's the thing I'd like to say. When Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven's here, he fulfilled Isaiah 64. That was the fulfillment of their cry. With the coming of the Messiah, he would bring revival, Isaiah 61. And revival, or the kingdom of God fully manifested, would be revealed on the earth. And Jesus lived out a life as the Son of Man of revival. You can't get more revived than the fullness of Christ. Signs and wonders and miracles and all kinds of cool stuff. The kingdom of heaven was just splattering everywhere. When Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven's here, he was saying the long-awaited renewal, the long-awaited revival is here. And it will be manifested in an army of people who are in Christ. Just as I was in the Father and the Father was in me, there's this mutual indwelling, this union. If you're in Christ, you're in me, I'm in you, there's this mutual indwelling, and you are the army of revival. Now, I know there's semantic languages and language, and I'll share that in just a second, but the point being is this. We keep crying out for revival. You are the revival. The in Christ army of God is the revival. Jesus said, it's here. When we cry out for revival, we act like we're asking for something that isn't here to show up. Now, what we're really asking for is something that's not being manifested to start being manifested again. That the people of God would begin to be the Christ carriers that they are. They would begin to walk in the fullness of Christ that's theirs now. because you can't get more revived than the life of Jesus pulsating in the daily life of human affairs in a fallen world. He said, well, Bishop, so what's the difference? I just tell you this, it's a lot easier to enter into something you know you already got and become something you know you already are than begging God to do something that isn't. We talk about the Selma revival. It's been here all along, resident in the people of God. What we're actually crying out for, God, may your church emerge, come forth, be the Christ-like carriers we already are, and manifest the revival that Jesus announced was here when he said repent. What does repent mean? You know the word repent just means to think like? Literally. We say, well, change your mind. I know it literally means think like. Think with. Think like he thinks. Stop thinking like you think. Start thinking like he thinks. He says, stop thinking that you're having to ask for something. Start believing that something is here. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is here. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I know there's semantic languages and language, and I'll share that in just a second, but the point being is this. We keep crying out for revival. You are the revival. The in Christ army of God is the revival. Jesus said, it's here. When we cry out for revival, we act like we're asking for something that isn't here to show up. Now, what we're really asking for is something that's not being manifested to start being manifested again. That the people of God would begin to be the Christ carriers that they are. They would begin to walk in the fullness of Christ that's theirs now. Because you can't get more revived than the life of Jesus pulsating in the daily life of human affairs in a fallen world. He said, well, Bishop, so what's the difference? I just tell you this, it's a lot easier to enter into something you know you already got and become something you know you already are than begging God to do something that isn't. We talk about the Selma revival. It's been here all along, resident in the people of God. What we're actually crying out for, God, may your church emerge, come forth. Be the Christ-like carriers we already are and manifest the revival that Jesus announced was here when he said repent. What does repent mean? You know the word repent just means to think like? Literally. We say, well, change your mind. I know it literally means think like. Think with. Think like he thinks. Stop thinking like you think. Start thinking like he thinks. He said, stop thinking that you're having to ask for something. Start believing that something is here. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is here. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.